Welcome along to this week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. How is the caramel kid?
What? I'm good, Sean. I haven't heard you for a while.
It's been a while. It's been too long. It's been two weeks we've had off, which has been a nice little break. What have you been doing with it?
Loads of stuff. Obviously, been doing some REF training. Been getting whooped at Pokemon. I've been doing loads of linesmen.
Yeah. Are they still keeping you on the bench?
Yeah. Obviously, when everyone gets injured, I'm the last person left. So like almost the runt of the litter, I come on and do loads of running. And like, oh, actually, you're all right.
So did you get? Have you scored yet? Have you contributed to the? Are you back at right back?
No. I was playing left wing last time, so that was fine.
Okay. But
obviously, I haven't been going regularly because I've just been doing like loads of other stuff as well.
Yeah.
It's just been quick, and then obviously working. And luckily enough, I was on early's, like bonfire night and Halloween and stuff. So I missed all the crazy antics. There was no students versus hoodie situation.
I was looking forward to asking you about that. So you managed no eggs on Jermaine's bus, the X. What were you in the X58? I'll keep forgetting. X68,
188, 176.
There's no eggs on them on Halloween.
No.
Well, but hey.
So there was a funny story. Like I'm on the 188 coming out of North Greenwich, and this like banger car pulls up with music blaring.
Yeah.
And bright lights. I look over, it's like two students, you know, like t-shirts inside out, odd socks type of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got the music blaring, and they're like, soon the song will come on, and then they will change it like the first 2 seconds, and they keep changing, and then the passenger must. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air comes on, you know, the theme song?
Yeah.
And it must have played for about 10 seconds. And as this is playing, they're sort of like arguing amongst themselves. And these girls are crossing the road and they're dancing to the music. And the passenger changes it. And then the driver goes, "What are you doing? The girls are dancing." And they're fumbling around trying to change it back. I was like, these boys.
Amateurs.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. But I guess you're so busy, there's no running. Did you get any running done at the RAF weekend? Did they put you for your paces?
Loads of marching.
Yeah,
and
okay.
We did the bleep test.
Okay. And did you cruise it?
Yeah, because they're worried about health and safety, you ain't allowed to do more than your age requirement.
What?
However old you are.
Yeah.
You can only do a certain level.
Okay. And what is that for mid-40s guy like yourself?
So I had to do level 8.1.
I just dissed you then, Jermaine. You didn't even notice. I said mid-40s. Mid-30s.
It don't matter. I'm old. I'm crusty. Yeah. It's fine.
You've gone past. Talking about old, have you seen this guy, Tommy Hughes? Irish guy. He ran 2:27 in Frankfurt this year. And he's 59. Whoa. He set the world age best. I think we're going to try and get Tommy on the show, actually. That's a quick reveal. But he won. I think his son, Owen, from Northern Ireland. I must check that. But they, father and son, fastest times. Tommy was the fastest. Tommy was the dad was the older, was the quicker. And 2:27. Gee, so age ain't nothing but a number, Jermaine. If they'd have stopped Tommy on that bleep test, we wouldn't be seeing him run this fast now, eh?
But how did they do father and son? Did they have to run together?
No. They just cumulative time. So,
okay.
Like, yeah, they take it and they take an average. But I think it was his son run 2:31, so that's like 2:30-ish. So if any fathers and sons out there can run around 2:30.
How old's the son? Because if you're getting beat by your dad and he's like 57...
59. He's nearly 60 years old. Wow. Yeah.
Find out how old the son is, and then you need to like email him like a little picture of shame.
I was just thinking about if my dad could run. My dad's right now. He's 65, but my dad's got a new hip. He hobbles around. There's no way he's running the marathon. Tommy Hughes cracking out 2:27. Bloody hell. Anyway, but hey, sounds good. So
what's going on?
Say that again.
So what's going on? Obviously with you and that.
Well, it's going. We're a couple of admin things before me. So because me, what I've been up to in the last couple of weeks will probably is leading into the theme for the next show for the next month. So what we're going to do is we are relaunching a little bit the podcast with a different kind of structure. So every month we're going to have a theme that we discuss over a period of a whole month, and we have a big interview. We're going to try and interview someone. A big perspective on that. We're going to try and have a discussion ourselves about what's going on or our thoughts about that. We want your listeners questions or your listeners involvement. We want to see here your stories about different aspects of the theme we're talking about. And then we're going to get perspectives from lots of different coaches and experts from around the UK, around the globe about that particular issue. So the new structure, we're going to start this month talking about me a little bit. Well, it's not me, but we're talking about health. So over the last couple of weeks, what's happened to me is I've been taking some time out. I've not been particularly well, and it's been a period of like a long period where I've had a low white cell blood cell count, and I just haven't been able to run really. I know that Doughy Griffiths, he's had something. Not going to say he's similar, but he's had a thing where he's not been able to. He's basically not been able to get up and run, and he's had chronic fatigue. I think he's had a real problems, and I've had something similar. Every time I come to a big race, I'm usually ill. I'm usually knackered, and I usually can't run. So we wanted to think in this month about health and about how we talked a lot about in various shows about like relative energy deficiencies. We've talked about eating disorders and ways they affect your health, but I want to talk about other ways that maybe we don't think about health and how they impact upon our performance. So obviously I sleep's a big one of those things. I haven't really done much sleeping, but there's definitely something going on with me that I haven't considered.
Sleep is huge.
Yeah. And any young dads out there will realize that sleep kind of is a thing that you have to live with.
I'm getting my violin.
Yeah, where's the violin?
About a young, just wear a condom. Shit, coming up in here complaining.
They're nice. I'm never going to complain about Greta. She's such a little, she's a great little kid. But you know, your sleep is going to be impacted, and that's one thing. But I think there's other areas that we don't think about. Like, and this week's show actually we'll come on to this in a second. Is an interview with Ian Needleman. So Ian is the lead at the Centre for Oral Health and Performance at UCL, the Eastman Dental Institute. And it's affiliated with the IOC, and they look at how oral health impacts physical health and how oral health impacts athletes. So do you remember that story back in the day about AC Milan?
You were telling me offline.
Yeah, well, it was like, well, back when they were really good, when they had like Kaká and, I mean, sorry, people don't like football, but like Paolo Maldini and all these guys that were like into their 30s, Seydorf and all these guys.
Which is old, yeah?
Huh?
Which is old,
like us. We're past it. Not according to Tommy Hughes, we're not. We're in our prime. He's 59. He's still going strong. Anyway, these guys, Maldini, Seydorf and stuff, they managed to prolong their careers. And apparently part of it was AC Milan put so much focus on these guys' oral health because they thought the link between oral health and physical health was so strong.
Every time he's... Oh, boy.
But I guess you can see, like, on a real simple level, if you've got bad teeth, like, and you're up all night with bad teeth, you're not sleeping, you're going to pick up illnesses, you're going to pick up injuries, you're going to get worse. And that if you're getting infections in your mouth, infections can spread, right? So on a real simple level, there's got to be some stock in that. And I was in a dentist the other day, it was a while back. And the guy was, I started saying that to the dentist, and he was saying, well, Iron Robin, remember Iron Robin?
Yeah, go on.
So he used to be made of glass. He was a really good footballer, played with Chelsea and stuff, Real Madrid, wasn't it? But he didn't succeed because he used to break down all the time. And apparently he puts down his improvement in his ability to withstand injuries. He got his teeth sorted out. And he became this player. You laugh, man, but this is this.
So basically, you're telling me if you want to be pro, you'll get vineyards.
Done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, on a simple level, like this is the thing, right? This is what this month is about. So it's about thinking differently about the sort of things that might impact your performance. So I'm not saying that you go and you have a lovely pair of pearly whites and you're going to run, you know, I don't know, 220 marathon or a, you know, a sub 30 10K. But if you, there's lots of different facets of your life which impact upon your health and your ability to train hard, and oral health is one of them. That's what we're saying, and that's what this month's going to be about. So actually, I think what we want people to talk about and what we would like is people's stories of, like, I don't know, is it marginal gains? I guess it is a bit marginal gains, thinking of these extra little things that they've changed to help them improve and to help them improve their performance. Do you know what I mean?
What's the giveaway? A free toothpaste or something?
No giveaways on this show. We do need sponsors. Sponsor us, please. Yeah, let's get involved. So, what about you? Do you think you've done anything with your? Have you?
Well, I mean, when I had a bad, I've had one tooth taken out.
Yeah.
And when I caught a run because obviously I was in pain.
There we
so
go.
It was a kind of a negative
there
effect.
There we go.
Because what?
I rest my case.
Yeah, but if I would have left it, I would have been fine. I would have missed the session that week.
Yeah, but who knows if you'd have missed another session the next week? You never know.
No, my tooth wasn't hurting. It was just like, I was thinking, oh, why is it a bit brown underneath? And obviously, it died. And I was like, okay, I better get rid of that one.
What about other things? Because in my case, right, so I'm like I'm a typical runner. So I'm the kind of person who, I come from backgrounds, I want to work really hard. So I don't think I'm very talented. As a kid in primary school, I was the slowest kid at school. I swear to you, I was a big, I was a chubster, and I didn't like, you know, I was a kid that everyone laughed at and put in goal and stuff, etc. However, like I really love training hard. So that's always been part of my psyche, right? And when I want to improve, when I get a taste for something, so like with this mountain running stuff, I got a real taste for it. And then I was like, I wanted more and more and more. I wanted to push harder and harder and harder. And I didn't listen to health warning signs. Do you know what I mean? And then when it came to it, like I'd see my training plan, like, oh, I've got to do some treadmill hills. And I think maybe I wasn't even honest with Martin, who's my coach. Maybe I would say, oh, yeah, I feel all right. I feel okay for this, because I wanted to tick that box and keep progressing. And I think that's very typical of a lot of runners. They would ignore their health to the detriment of.
So why do you reckon teeth is so far down the list? That people don't even consider it.
I don't know. It's kind of quite abstract, isn't it?
Your case could work if it's someone, you know, like someone's teeth is really bad.
Yeah.
On average, most people have got pretty good teeth.
Well, hang on, Jermaine, because if you listen to Ian, he's going to talk in a minute. Maybe we'll go to Ian now and come back to the end. Ian says, well, hang on, let's go to Ian and let's talk about the general oral health of athletes. Because it's interesting. Should we go to him? We'll do the interview now. Here we go. On today's show, we are chatting to Ian Needleman. How are you doing, Ian?
Great, Sean.
Good to chat. And you're the lead at the Centre for Oral Health and Performance at UCL, the UCL Eastman Dental Institute. It's a bit of a mouthful, but that's your position.
Yeah, that's right. So I run a centre focused on research, training, and producing guidelines for oral health in sport. And we're also part of the UK IOC Research Centre.
Oh, great. So how long have you been doing that?
So we started this area of research at the London 2012 Games, actually.
Ah.
We've been trying to get to, it was a keen interest that we were trying to develop. And we had a fantastic opportunity, one of four studies that were allowed to run at the Games. It was really interesting. It gave, I think, to a lot of people some surprising results.
Yeah.
So that's when we started in this field.
Great. And obviously you're a runner yourself. Have you always worked kind of, in the area of sport and health, or is this kind of a new direction since 2012?
Very much, yeah, a new direction. So, for people who are struggling to think, why would you do that? For us, it seemed logical. We've been working for a long time looking at how oral health affects the bigger picture, meaning not just the mouth, although that's really important, but how it affects people's quality of life, their psychosocial state, and their general health. And, and there's really good evidence that it affects all of those. As somebody that's really quite keen, passionate about sport, it occurred to me and to others that I work with that there could be, if oral health affects these things, there might be an effect on performance. So that's why we got into looking for that.
Excellent. And you're a long time runner yourself. What's your kind of where your area of expertise, would you say? How did you get hooked on endurance running?
Well, I have to blame, if that's the right word, Chris Brasher, actually, as probably a lot of people do. I was a student, so I was a dental student at the time of the first London Marathon. And I don't know why, Sean, but yeah. I went down to spectate.
Yeah.
And it was a life-changing thing for me. I looked at the first few, I don't know, you know, first 100 or two, who were obviously different specimens from you know, what I was used to. But the majority of the field just looked like normal people.
Yeah.
And I just got totally caught up and thought, well, this looks fantastic. It's a really cool thing to do.
Yeah.
And those people look like me. So maybe I could do this. And the rest is history, really.
Great. And so what sort of stuff do you do now? Where's your what sort of racing stuff do you love to do at the moment?
Well, I love trail running. I love running in the mountains. I've had a tough 12, 18 months of getting over some tendon injuries, which are really that's going now going very positively. But so I love trails, but for a trail runner, I'm not supposed to enjoy running on roads, but I still enjoy that a lot, actually. And it's curious. I guess, like a lot of people, I enjoy running. Full stop.
Yeah.
I enjoy the sense of freedom. I enjoy the feel of when moving well, not necessarily fast, but when moving well. And I do enjoy competition, undoubtedly. I love everything around competition. I love the psychology. I love the just taking part in events. It's just really, really great thing to do.
Yeah, and we mentioned off air, we had a chat before we came on. You've got half an eye on Chamonix this year.
Yeah. It's just an extraordinary place, and there's part of me that thinks this is just crazy when I'm there at UTMB time. But that's only a small part. Actually, I have to say I just love it.
Yeah,
I love the whole atmosphere there. But I also actually enjoy it even more outside of that time. I've been lucky enough to go out and spend time running on the trails and recceing the routes around Chamonix and up in the mountains. It's just extraordinary.
Yeah.
Just love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully everything will heal up and we'll see you there in the line in August.
Definitely.
And bringing us back to kind of your area of research, let's talk a bit about the study, because the study started, you say, in 2012 at the Olympics. What did you guys actually look into at that stage?
So we asked some simple questions, really. We asked, the first question was, what is the oral health like of Olympic participants?
Right.
And that was particularly interesting to us and those in the oral health community. What we felt was more interesting was the second question, which was, does oral health affect performance? Because realistically, athletes are not going to be interested in oral health unless there's a performance impact.
Yeah.
So we had great support from the IOC, from the London Organising Committee. It was very difficult for doing research in that kind of environment, but we were with all the support, we managed it, and we showed that oral health of those athletes competing at the games was very poor, worse than general population.
Wow.
So high levels of tooth decay,
yeah.
High levels of gum disease, high levels of tooth erosion, which is acidic erosion, not caused by bacteria.
So how did you do that? Were you actually, you had a sample of athletes and you actually, you had a chance to look at their teeth and take?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
That's it. That's exactly it. So we were in the Olympic Village, and in the, one of the jewels in the crown, of Olympic Games is the polyclinic, and, polyclinic's an amazing facility that the IOC insists on, which is basically free care for all athletes. Plus, actually, the extended family, meaning the coaches and people that travel with them.
Yeah.
And we were up the dental clinic, up on the top floor of the clinic with ophthalmology.
Yeah.
And the second, what's perhaps surprising to people, the dental clinic was the second, and it is consistently the second busiest service in the whole of the Olympic Games, outside of physiotherapy, musculoskeletal.
Really? Wow.
So 7 dental surgeries, on the go from 7 a.m. till 11 p.m. every day and fully booked. Not a free moment. So we spent time talking to athletes, recruiting them. It was obviously, you have to go through ethics approval. Mm. You have to, it's a proper research study, informed consent. But we found the athletes were generally very happy to take part.
Wow. But that's, you see, worse, the health was worse than the general population. That's incredible.
Yeah. It's very striking.
Yeah. And what did you draw any conclusions from that? If there was any reason, do you think, why that was?
Because of the nature of doing a study in that environment, it's difficult to do too much in terms of exploring why. Mm. But what we also found was even more remarkable was that 1 in 5, 20%, reported an impact on their training and performance.
Wow.
And that's high, 1 in 5, but when you think about it, you know, it's several years ago now we did the study, but when you think that these are athletes at their peak physically, hoping to achieve lifetime dreams at these games, and yet 1 in 5 felt that their oral health was having a negative impact, which is quite remarkable. And lots of anecdotes. One I most remember most clearly was an African sprinter. And he just was very emotional, just saying that it was having such a bad effect that his hopes in the 100 and 200 meter sprints were compromised as a result. And that's data are really important, but of course the anecdotes, which you have to listen to. You have to report carefully because you can say anything really, but the anecdotes really make you understand this is not just data. It's affecting their lives and what they do.
Yeah. Wow. Did you look at then at the performance of the people you sampled? Did you look at how, if, you know, there was a correlation between the worse the health was, the better the performance? I guess that's not a very, an easy or useful thing to look at.
Well, it's a great idea. Mm. We couldn't do because of the nature of the study.
Right.
But there are subsequent studies which are showing effects. Yeah. It's quite a hard thing to demonstrate.
Yeah.
Because clearly at that elite level, there are small differences.
Yeah.
And being able to pinpoint one thing like oral health and its effect on performance with lots of other things happening at the same time is difficult and would require a large study to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And it's generally, it's quite challenging getting money to do research in sports medicine.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was the, what were the sort of the anecdotally perhaps and from your experience, what are the impacts that bad health can have upon you, what are in general on the body and therefore on performance?
Well, I mean, I think it's just worth saying that although that was quite a challenging study, we have followed it up with 2 more recent ones, one in professional football, including 5 Premier League teams in the UK, in England rather, and a large number of Olympic athletes and professional athletes pre Rio 2016.
Right.
And we keep finding the same. So it's the same message over and all, over yeah. and over. Why it has an effect, I think there are a number of things. Firstly, there's an effect that if you have poor oral health, you have inflammation in your mouth. Mm. We've known that for many, many years. Perhaps in the last 10 years, particularly, what's become clear is if you have inflammation in your mouth, you'll have inflammation in the rest of your body as well.
Mm.
And, you know, make the joke usually if I'm giving a lecture to ask people to just look at their neighbor and make an observation. When you look at your neighbor, is their head connected to the rest of their body?
Mm.
And it seems like a stupid thing to ask, but it's perhaps surprising we haven't asked that question sooner, that what goes on in the mouth is likely to affect people's health and performance generally. So inflammation in the mouth has an effect.
Mm.
If you have poor oral health, you can have a measurable level of inflammation caused by, in the rest of your body, caused by what's going on in the mouth. And we know that that affects, affects health. We know it affects muscle healing and injury risk.
Yeah.
So there's no surprise that there would be a relationship. And, you know, outside of sport, what some people are becoming aware of is that if you have diabetes, for instance, and you have inflammation in your mouth, typically caused by gum disease, that the inflammation in the mouth makes the diabetes worse. So that it's harder to control your blood sugar. But very positively also, if you treat that and you treat that inflammation in the mouth just with good oral care and treatment, you can reverse that so that you can actually save somebody taking a diabetes drug. It's such a big effect.
Wow, that's incredible.
So yeah, so you know we've got these very clear physical processes, but there's also effects on confidence. And so in each of our studies, what happens is we find about 20 to 30% of athletes telling us that those are the ones that have poor health tell us that it's affecting their confidence, their socialization, their confidence to smile without embarrassment, their sleeping.
Wow.
So again, all of those things, we know about how important sleep is, we know how important confidence is generally in performance, including in sport.
Yeah.
And then of course there's effects on eating, which again, about same kind of proportion, about 20% roughly of athletes are saying that it's affecting their ability to eat what they want and need to.
Yeah.
So you've got the nutritional effects. So, you know, you've got quite a number of different pathways of if you have poor health, how it could have an effect on your sport performance as well as your general life.
Yeah. And there has been, and I guess this research for the layman, this is maybe a new thing. I wouldn't, if I was ill or sick, I was struggling, I wouldn't look towards my oral health as a reason why that was happening. But I guess within sport, where there's such small margins, people have kind of been doing this a little bit already. We discussed about the AC Milan team there, when they had people like Maldini and these guys that were playing well into their 30s. They placed a heavy emphasis on dentistry.
Yes,
is that right?
That's correct. Mm. And I guess when we started back in 2012. There wasn't a lot of research activity going on in this field, and people were very, I don't know if skeptical is the right word, but it just hadn't entered their minds so much.
Well, I certainly was skeptical. We're hearing that story about AC Milan, and I thought, that can't be right. Surely there's no way that can make that much difference. But yeah, it appeared to.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're not the only ones working in this field, but I guess we've produced the largest amount of research, and it's been interesting going to sports medicine conferences how this is becoming more and more accepted.
Mm.
And we're hearing we've had the pleasure of working with a number of organizations and teams who are really taking this seriously.
Mm.
But what we also know very well is that oral health is in some ways competing with lots of other areas of that you know, trying to grab attention and importance. We published together with head of sports medicine for Manchester United and for West Ham just 3-4 years ago now, an editorial in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. And they really encouraged us to write this editorial. And the point that they wanted us to make was that screening for oral health within football, the evidence is more secure to do this for oral health than it is for a lot of the musculoskeletal screening that is routinely done in football. So it's trying to just change the conversation a little bit.
Yeah.
That think about what you're doing at the moment. Think of the value. Does everything really have a good scientific basis? But also open your minds and your clinical practice to new concepts and to think about adopting some new ideas.
Great. And then, so for someone like myself, so for kind of a layman runner, someone who may run sort of, let's say the majority of our listeners would be guys that run perhaps 10K to marathon, perhaps some ultra as well.
Yeah.
What's kind of the practical advice you'd give to someone like me to make sure my oral health was moving in the right direction, I'd say, and what steps I can personally take to improve my oral health at home?
Okay.
Maybe deal with the first question first, I guess, really.
Yeah, I mean, great questions. Yeah. And I think the first thing that's worth thinking about is if I'm a semi-serious athlete, semi-serious runner, I'm probably going to need carbs to fuel my training, recovery, and competition. And that's really important. So if you need them, use them. But there's a consequence. So recognize that puts your oral health at risk. Yeah. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
So if you recognize that it's putting you at risk, do something about it.
Yeah.
And the first thing is just to take ownership of that and just accept, well, I'm the athlete. I'm the one that's got to do the training. And therefore I've got to take the ownership of managing this risk, and you can do it. So, there are lots of things you can do outside of needing sugars, particularly for whatever it is, whether it's for recovery or training. Try and avoid sugars outside of that. If you're using gels carb sugar drinks during training and during competition, if you can, it's not so easy as a runner. It may be easier as a cyclist. Use water straight afterwards to try and dilute that effect. And on a day-to-day basis, because of that increased risk, just make sure you're using a fluoride toothpaste. Fluoride is really important.
Yeah.
Very safe indeed, despite some of the scare stories.
Yeah.
It works really well, but it only works on the surface of the teeth. So in other words, you've got to keep applying it as a toothpaste. So brush twice a day.
Yeah.
Make sure it's at least 2 minutes of brushing. And to make sure that you don't then get rid of that benefit of the fluoride protection, don't rinse out afterwards. So the jargon word, well, the phrase is spit afterwards, spit, but don't rinse, which most people aren't used to doing. So that way you can kind of give yourself some added protection, recognizing and taking ownership of the fact that your risk is a little higher.
Yeah. And is just any old fluoride toothpaste from I don't know, from the supermarket, is that good enough, or should we be buying extra, a particularly strong fluoride toothpaste from elsewhere?
Great question. So standard toothpastes need to look at the information on the label carefully. You're looking for a toothpaste which is at least 1350 to 1400 parts per million. So it'll be very clearly labeled 1350 to 1400 ppm, parts per million of fluoride.
Yeah.
If it's less than that, you're not getting sufficient protection.
Okay.
Now, if you're somebody that has a particularly increased risk of tooth decay, and you'll know that because you're getting tooth decay, then you should get advice and you should be using a higher strength toothpaste. And you can only get that either on prescription or on sale from your dentist. There's a product made by one manufacturer in particular. There's only one high fluoride toothpaste. And so that's what's important about that is, if you're used as an athlete to thinking about training plans, maybe working with a coach, think about working with your dentist as a coach. Go and see them. So at least once a year, but if you have a sort of track record of tooth decay, then you should be seeing them twice a year. Get their advice about what you should be doing in terms of your cleaning techniques, because light running, you can use a bad technique with cleaning and you might just get away with not too many problems. But if you improve your technique, you're bound to get benefits from that.
Yeah.
And your dentist or hygienist will help you with that. They will also help you to choose the right products and to use them at the right time. That's again, taking ownership of saying, I've got to sort this out. And I know who can be my coach to help me with that.
Absolutely. I read something about mouthwash as well, that perhaps mouthwash wasn't the best sort of thing in terms of washing that fluid off. Is that right?
That's really good insight. Yeah, there's some really interesting work. You were asking about oral health and performance. So I guess many people listening to this will know about or have used concentrated beetroot juice.
Yeah.
And so I think many people will know that there's good evidence that these beetroot shots, this concentrated beetroot juice, can give you performance benefits, particularly for sort of 10K and longer kind of distances. The way it works is that the beetroot, the nitrate in the beetroot juice is converted to a chemical called nitrite, and that's converted in the body to nitric oxide, which helps with oxygen carriage and better oxygen use in muscles.
Yeah.
So that's how it works. Why the mouth is important is that conversion starts in the mouth. You need bacteria in your mouth to start it. Without that, you don't get that conversion and you don't get the benefits. And what was found was that antiseptic or particularly antimicrobial mouth rinses kill bacteria in the mouth and they eliminate the beneficial effects of beetroot juice.
Right, okay.
So that's, but it's important that that's antiseptic mouth rinses.
Yeah.
For people that are at high risk of tooth decay, as well as the fluoride toothpaste, we also recommend, or the evidence guidelines recommend, that you should also use a fluoride mouth rinse in the middle of the day. So you're really topping up the levels.
Okay.
So that fluoride mouth rinse is not going to kill the bacteria. It's going to work in a different way. So that's absolutely fine to use.
Okay. Okay. And with these gels and things, there's, I guess, like you said, there's no other choice. You just got to kind of manage the risk that they're going to have.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. And what's your next area of research? And have you got an idea of where you're going to kind of then go with looking into performance in sport and oral health? Have you got a research project in mind?
Yeah, so we've just completed a behaviour change study with two Olympic teams and a professional rugby team. Since this finding of poor health is just so consistent, it's important we try and do something about it now.
Yeah.
And of course, trying to make changes in elite sport is really difficult.
Yeah.
So we've used behaviour change psychology. And we've completed that study and it's shown some really promising findings. So that's one thing. We're going to be presenting that at the IOC conference next March.
Yeah.
And another area, which is a little bit related to what we've just been talking about, is the bacteria. So I think everybody's now starting to hear the term microbiome. So we've also been looking at the microbiome in the mouth, the microbiome in the gut, and also the nose, to look at how they relate to each other, and also how they relate to prevention of illness, health, and performance in athletes. So that's an area which is looking really very interesting.
Great. And when will we find these results? Where can we catch up with what you guys are doing and read these research papers?
So we try and post everything, including there's quite a number of infographics and resources which we posted on our web pages.
Yeah.
So if you go to www.ucl, which is short for University College London, ucl.ac.uk / COHP, Center for Oral Health and Performance, COHP, you'll find that stuff there. And we'll continue to post updates.
Great. Fantastic. And I'll have to
promote our Twitter feed too, which is oral health in sport.
Perfect. Check it out. Have a look. And obviously when new research comes up, it'll be posted up there.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. And I can't let you go without asking you our three final quick questions, which are, if you could be anywhere running now, where would it be?
Well, gosh, it would have to be the Alps and either Chamonix or Courmayeur.
Lovely. And then second question is, recommend us something. So it could be anything from a book, film, or an experience you recommend our listeners check out.
I guess one of the books I just keep coming back to is Lizzie Hawker's book, Runner.
Yeah.
I find her and her book absolutely inspirational.
Fantastic. We'll try and find a link to pop that, as well as a link to the UCL site, and put it on the show notes. And the final one is, what in your opinion is the greatest endurance performance of all time? There's been a few changes lately, maybe.
Yeah, there have been, actually, and that's quite topical. Of course, my mind's gone blank now. Previous marathon world record holder, Paula. Paula Radcliffe's marathon world record. Just astonishing, absolutely astonishing running.
Yeah, it's so funny that record has gone, and yet it's been mentioned three times. In spite of her record, after her record has gone, it still sort of hangs in the memory. I think all these changes with shoes and everything else has made everyone a bit suspicious of all the things that are coming out, which is a shame, I guess. But it's the nature of the situation, I think.
I think you're right, but it also I agree with that. But it just also makes you have even greater respect for the immensity of what she achieved. It was just incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. Well, thanks a lot, Ian, for chatting. And fingers crossed your continued rehab from the injuries goes well, and you're ready to take your place in the over in Chamonix in the summer.
Sean, it's great speaking with you. Thank you very much for asking me to be involved.
No problem. Cheers, Ian.
So what do you think about that, Jermaine? What do you think about that news from Ian? In general, the oral health of athletes is worse than the general population.
And he said, but they've got more time on their hands to brush their teeth.
Well, he was saying there's a load of things could be linked to it. One of them is sugars.
Okay, yeah, they eat a lot of fast sugars for energy boosting.
Yeah, yeah.
The way I see it, like when I was training pro, I could, get up and want to go running, come back, have breakfast, then I'll brush my teeth and go back to sleep, sort of thing. And it was just like in that routine.
Yeah.
And then obviously you brush your teeth before you go to bed. But like when you're working now, I think, I brush my teeth every night before I go to bed. But sometimes I don't brush them in the morning.
Yeah. So you have more time to think about it.
Well, yeah, because you've got more, generally when you're a full-time athlete, you've got more time for everything.
Yeah.
Because once you've done your run, all you need to do is rest your body.
Yeah.
So you've got more time to do stuff around the house, even like not putting up shelves. But so if that includes, like physical health, like, or stretching, you've got time to do that, but it's just the willpower to actually go and do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think
because when you compare it to, civilians, they need to sleep as long as they can because they've got home and they need to cook dinner, look after the children, or, like do stuff. then they've only got like 6 hours sleep, and you think, I'd rather stay in bed for an extra half hour and rush to get ready in the morning. But when they rush to get ready in the morning, they don't have time, so they obviously just do, you know, like the teeth brushing in the
bare minimum. Yeah.
So like, it's hard to fit in when you're doing like civilian stuff, because everything's always crammed in, and you're trying to maximize, especially sleep, because you think, oh, I need as much as I can.
But do you get a better routine? Does that mean when you've got to do something bang, 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 is your routine become better? Because you've got to do it. I don't know.
Yeah, like, obviously my week's changed, because obviously you're on shifts.
Yeah.
But now I'm in a rhythm. It's like, when I know I'm on earlies, I have to do things a certain way. When I'm on late, I have to do things a certain way. And it's easier to do like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you don't think, okay, and change the set thing, this is how I need to do things. Yeah, you forget, or you know, like you just too loads of stuff take over. You think, bloody hell, I need a day off, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then where does brushing your teeth come into that? Because people wash themselves, obviously.
Yeah.
But sometimes brushing your teeth is probably low down on loads of people's lists.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. Well, that's what it shows with their athletes. It's just don't think about it.
But yeah, athletes, it shouldn't be that low, because they've got way more time than a civilian.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
You think when you was full time, it was so boring. You spend most of your time, like, you could see 1 second of a movie and you know what movie it is, because you watch so many movies when you're an athlete.
The life of an elite athlete.
It's true though, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I've never done it. I've never had the opportunity. Why? I used to running personal training, like I used to go out and do a run with my group, come back, and I'd go and I'd have a nice big bath with I'd put the my laptop and watch a whole series of like The Killing in the bath with a hot chocolate. That was what I used to do.
Your toes and fingers must have been shriveled along with your willy.
Every day. Everything was shriveled. Yeah. That's the good old days. Yeah. Anyway.
No.
We should say one thing before we go any further. Jermaine, this is the end of an era.
It is. Elvis is leaving the building.
Yeah, yeah. The Caramel Kid is unfortunately times are tight, and this is gonna be your last show.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
It is indeed.
Yeah, it's a shame. But we've had a great time, Jermaine. We've had some highlights. My personal ones have been frying pan knee.
Yeah.
And the blow face, the blowfish face, the bus driver. Yeah, those were good moments for me. There's been some other good moments, but it's time. You've got a lot of stuff on now, and it's hard work to get this podcast going, everybody. So thanks for all your support. People have been listening. Thanks, Mark Sue, who continues to donate, by the way. You're coming over to Amsterdam. We're going to go for a nice big, I don't know, we're going to do something nice with Mark Sue's lovely donations that you've been sending us. So thanks that, Mark. Anyone else, help us keep this going. We want to keep it going. We will keep it going. Jermaine, we'll have to just text us your bus stories in, mate, won't you?
Yeah, if something's too crazy, I'll have to ring the hotline and leave a message.
Speaking of hotline, yeah, weeks. So I did mention the new structure of the show. We want people's stories in. So before I did have the WhatsApp line, and I must admit I lost my phone, but I found it again. So I am going to go through all the messages that sent.
Is there 99 plus messages?
Yeah, listen, guys, I've been ill. Think of my white blood cells. Feel sorry for me, yeah? Don't get angry about it. Yeah. My poor white blood cells. Anyway, I've been a bit bad. I've been busy with the little baby and stuff, but I'm now sorted. I've got the WhatsApp line up and running. It's +31 617 116121. That's like I feel like I'm on like going live back in the day when we were kids. Do you remember that? Like 0800. Yeah, whatever. Hit up that line. I'd like to hear people's stories about sort of health stuff. I did see a really interesting story about the footballer Eric Dier. Do you hear about this? He's everyone thinks he's just completely gone. He's had a perforated appendix, which I've been slightly worried about me having, because Greta likes to bounce on my chest all the time. So yeah, he had it. Apparently sent him sick for he was just couldn't get his kind of health back in order, just because he didn't even realize this had happened. But yeah, interesting. Lots of things about health. If you want anything, you know, to talk about anything on the show, do that. Send us a WhatsApp. Cool. Just email me, Sean@letsgetrunning.co.uk.
Sean/letsgetrunning.co.uk.
Huh?
Sean slash Dr. White Devil.
Yeah, send us Dr. White Devil. I'll try and answer your health questions with some experts. Not me. I'm not an expert about anything. But yeah, we'll try and get those. We'll try and deal with those questions. If you've got interesting topics, we'd like to chat about them. Interesting perspectives. Yeah, let us know. ME is something I'd like to think about. But anyway, we'll move on. We've got to talk about a review we've had because we should be reading these reviews out. We've been away, but we've got a lovely one from Run Neil. He's on Apple Podcasts.
Okay, Run Neil. That's a good one.
My favourite podcast, he says. He gives it 5 stars. And he says, thanks for the podcast, guys. Absolutely love it and look forward to it every week. Great informative content and excellent humour from you both. Still smile about the frying pan knee. Yep, there we go. One of the best moments. And he's got a laughing emoji there. Keep up the good work. Thumbs up. So yeah, thanks for that. That's a nice review from Run Neil. Hopefully we'll have some other stories that Jermaine can text in about frying pan knees because we're not going to be able to chat about them. But these things move on. We've got a couple of co-hosts that we're going to be launching. So look out for them in the next couple of shows
People, they're superstars.
They're superstars. Yeah, they're not Jermaine, but yeah, who is the caramel kid? Yeah, but anyway, right, Jermaine. We'll talk again soon. We'll see you. The listeners will probably see you hanging about down Lady Well. If they miss you, get on the X68.
X68 176 188.
Get down there. Give Jermaine a cuddle and send us a photo if you do. Be nice to see him.
Because someone got on the bus and they looked at me. I thought they were a runner.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, if you're a runner and you know that I'm, I say, oh, you're a runner. Then we couldn't start talking. But when they look at me, they give me a weird look. I'm thinking, are you a weirdo? Yeah.
Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Give Jermaine a hello. He's up for it.
Introduce yourself as a runner, yeah. And then conversation starts normal.
Yeah. Cracking. Right, Jermaine, I'll leave you to it. But good to chat, and we'll hopefully the listeners will see you in December. See you in December. Nice one.
Yeah, cool. See ya.
Bye.